So the speaker today on November 9th, 2025, is Forrest Cottrell. Last time I spoke, I told you that I was doing a two-part series. The first one was on the compassion of God. The second one is on the love of God or love of Christ. And for those of us who are what I believe here serious students, this shouldn't be something that we would say, why are you studying that? Why are you talking about that? Well, I'll tell you why in just a minute, but let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are truly indebted to you and to your Son for the love that you have shown to give us the peace that we have because of his sacrifice and in his resurrection, that we too will have everlasting life because of what he's done. We are thankful for those who are here. We pray for all those that Ron's listed previously for their infirmities. And for those who are either unspoken or those who we may not know of their challenges that they faced, and they haven't revealed that to us. But Lord, if they're part of the body of Christ, then we pray for them and pray that you will help them. We are thankful for your word, thankful for the wisdom that you give us. Guide my words now that they be yours and not mine. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, good for us.
Okay, so one thing that Ronnie does really, really well that I think all of us as speakers need to employ when we teach is to not only give the topic, but the purpose. And he reiterates the purpose all 116 times, I think, is what he said. So it's good for us to be reminded, where is he going with this? What is the purpose behind it? So that I can see, if I'm listening, what it is that he's trying to convey, where he's going. There's a lot of people, especially those of you who are engineers, that need to see the end in mind. And so the end of this is for us not to just see about God's love, though we will cover that, but there's so many who consider God to be an unloving God. Because of the death and disasters, the pain, the suffering, the wars, the terror that's going on, the chaos that we have in this country right now, the ridiculous political stunts that people are pulling, and we wonder, why would God allow that? Why would a loving, compassionate God allow that? And for those of us who are believers and have been believers for a long time, when you go back and you look at our life chart and you see all the canyons that we've gone through in order to then see the next peak to climb, you realize that we are not immune to the challenges of this world. Why? Because Satan is continuing to attack us. So the purpose is not to show why God allows suffering, but to see what Scripture says about God's compassion and love and how he showed it at different times in different ways. Then maybe we'll be reminded that God is compassionate, loving, and not to ask, why me? Why did you allow this, Lord? But to know that regardless of our circumstances, God is with us, cleaving to us. He has a plan, and despite of our suffering, he loves us. And because of his love, we can continually know that he's right there, shoulder to shoulder, if not actually lifting us up on his shoulders. So the first time that the love of God is used, it's interesting because it is the Lord telling the Pharisees in Luke 11:42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God." They pass over the love of God. They were doing rituals instead of focusing on God's love to them and then providing that love to others. He goes on to say, "These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone." So the love of God is the important thing that they should have shown. And how do you do that? Well, you have to reflect it. So the Greek word here, and I'm not going to belabor this because I know there's been many different subject or studies on the word agape. It's the Strong's Greek word, number 26, and it means love or affection, benevolence. It means charity. It's translated dear. It says dear God in one verse. But primarily, I think it's 86 times it is means the word love. And so we see that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love. He loved us so much, he gave his son.
Isn't it horrible that it's such a diluted word today? It gets used to describe people's connection with everything. You know, it's sad that the meaning of that word has been so diluted.
Absolutely. Thank you. In the word in John 3:16, because it is the past tense, is agapeo, and it is more of a social love, a broader perspective, if you will. In Romans 5:5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And in 5:8 of Romans, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, how can you deny God's love when he sent his son? I'm not sure how many people here have served their country, but when you enlisted, your parents probably feared for your life. And in this case, God sent his son so that we who are sinners would have life. He gave his life for us. Romans 8:39, "Nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There are religions that say you can lose your salvation, that you will lose this love of God. Again, as a father of imperfect sons, I can tell you that regardless of the sin, regardless of the things they've messed up that I've had to clean up, I still love them. I still love them. And there are friends and family members and coworkers that have caused great pain in my life. And we have to sit back and say, you may not love the sin, but you love the sinner. And that's God's perspective on us. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Finally, my brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." He is the God of love. It's not just the love of God that shines upon us, but that love brings peace. And you know, why would we have peace through that love? Well, because we don't fear death. We don't fear death because we know we have eternal life through Christ. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." So we have grace along with this love. Grace through Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ." So we know that we have this love, and because of that, we can patiently wait until we appear with the Lord. In 1 John is probably the place where the word love and love of God is used the most. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So when we keep his word, when we study his word, when we guard his word, when we watch over his word, and that's something that you know is on a daily basis. If from a military standpoint, when you see the word keep, it has to do with guarding. And a guard is on post 24/7. They don't take a day off. There's no rest. I mean, even on Christmas, even on any other holiday, the military is on alert. They're on guard. And we're to do the same thing daily in his word to renew and regenerate. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are sons of God because of his love. If that doesn't send chills up and down your spine, you have no feeling whatsoever. I mean, I've had spinal surgery twice, and I still got a tingling back there because of it.
Yeah.
I found this interesting, that not only we have John 3:16, but you got 1 John 3:16, and it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that love of God is something that's transferable as we deal with others around us, other believers, other family members. And when we can reflect God's love, God's peace, we can hopefully be contagious, such that people will see that and want that as well. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I mean, this is said time and time and time again by different writers, that the love of God was directly shown because he sent his Son. And I'm sorry, I should have given 4:7 as well. John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And the opposite of that is true as well. Those who hate others, whether they be family, friends, whether they just be people of a different religion, different political stance, if they hate their brother, then the love of God is not in them. 2 John 1:3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Look what we have because of his love. We have grace, we have mercy, we have peace, and we have love. It all comes from that one affection, that compassion that God has for us as his sons. In Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Absolutely not. This is the same Greek word, agape. And, you know, we see that the love of God and the love of Christ are one and the same, because the same word is used to demonstrate it. And it's interesting to me that when people say, well, wait a minute, why is all this tribulation going on? Why hasn't God saved us from that? Well, he tells us that nothing will separate us from this love. Not distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. I mean, we have faced all those things. Those of us who have the gray hair to prove it, it hasn't been easy, and it won't be easy. We have a target on our back, because Satan doesn't care about the world that doesn't believe. He's trying to convince those who do to reject God, and he does that by continually testing us, no different than he tested Christ and for 40 days. And sorry, I have a fan here. Sorry. And so even as he was tested, we are tested. So why would we think that we're any different? Why would we think that we should be special and have special circumstances and not in any way have trials and tribulation, which is a testing? That's an exercising of our faith towards him. 1 Corinthians 13:13, we see the same Greek word used, only it's translated differently. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. It is the word agape. It is that same love of God. That same love of God is alongside faith. And so we see all these things that come along with God's love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Think on that one. Everybody's dead until they believe in Christ. The day that they believe in Christ is the day that they begin to really, truly live. As we look at some of the prison officials then, and we look at several uses of the word agape, in Philippians 2:1 it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. So here again, we have consolation, we have love, we have comfort, we have fellowship, we have bowels of mercies, love that comes from the inner part, which includes mercy. Because without God's mercy, without His grace, we'd have death. Because by grace are we saved, not by our works. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So we see grace and faith again, along with that love. It's His faith, because it's His love. By His faith, He died and resurrected, and therefore, because of His faith, we have life as well. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, the word agape, and of a sound mind. Now, I'm not sure that that's given to everybody. I would probably be in question of having a sound mind. It's supposed to be, the word sound has to do with healthy. I'm not sure that I've always had a healthy mind. I would say whacked out sometimes, given some of the things that come out of my mouth. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. We have love from the Father, we have love from the Son. Ephesians 2:2 through 2:4, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's where we've been. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's what we came out of. Ephesians 2:4, but God. That word but, I know Ronnie's talked about it, Barney's talked about it, is a huge word. For only in three letters in the English, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His greatest love wherewith He loved us. It is His mercy that pulled us out of all of these things according to how we walked through the course of this world, the power of the prince of the power of the air, children of disobedience, on and on, the things that we were. In spite of that, God said, I've chosen you. And Ronnie just read us about being chosen before the foundation, before the casting down. That means that we were chosen by God even though He knew that we would sin in the future. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Yeah. Walk in Christ's love as He's loved us. It's a sacrificial love. Those of us who are married understand that love is a sacrifice. We give up a lot of things that some think, oh, I want to go back to. I don't want to be tied to this person anymore. I want my freedom. Well, when we walk in Christ's love and we show that sacrificial love to our spouses, we don't mind giving those things up because we are reflecting what He has done. Ephesians 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. the fullness of God, the complete love that God has shown in Christ. And it passes knowledge for those who do not understand his love. For those who are unbelieving, they will never understand the fullness of God's love towards them. But we as believers, even then, we may never know how full that love really is, given the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Last reference, Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you don't see the love of God in the verses that I've given you, there's about 80 others that you can go back and research. But the point to this, and as I conclude, that God has loved us and showed his love by his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. We are all sinners, but God loved us. And he chose us before the foundation, knowing that we have sinned. He pulled us out of the world of chaos and gave us peace, knowing that we have life through the sacrifice of his son, Christ Jesus. And he has offered us spiritual blessings in heavenly places, which surpass our hopes and expectations and thoughts. We deserve death. We may not be murderers, or maybe we are. We may not be thieves or adulterers or idolaters or liars. But we are sinners, and we deserve death because of it. But God's love offers us redemption, reconciliation, and eternal life. We may not feel the affection as the world knows that word, and may expect, but he draws near to us when we draw near to him. And that is the best hug I can think of. So don't let circumstances impact your view of, or feelings about God's love for you. It is real, and it can never be taken away, regardless of what some religions will teach you. Believe that, receive that, and then pass it on. Give it to others, the love of Christ. And with that, I'll conclude, and let me close in prayer, and then we'll open it up for comments, and Ronnie gets to take all those questions because he's Ronnie. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your love that as you've shown it through Christ, and we pray that we can show that to others. And as we go through this week and the weeks forward, Lord, we just want to be able to constantly be reminded of the redemption that we have had through the love of Christ, that we are sons of God and that we have amazing blessings, not necessarily on this earth. We may not be able to count it on a spreadsheet, but we will have exceedingly abundant spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we thank you for that. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.